Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back, hour number two, the BS and Beer New Orleans Saints football talk show.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think people get confused with what the show's about.
You know, I got Thanksgiving coming up. I thought I'm going to have an opportunity to talk about some, you know, what I'm going to be
cooking.
Some turkey.
Some recipes.
What are you going to be cooking? What are you going to be cooking?
Turkey.
Some turkey. What's it called?
How are you cooking it?
Turducken? No, I'm not making turducken.
No, turducken.
I can't get the duck.
How are you cooking it?
The turkey? I'm making it two ways. I'm making a traditional turkey dinner like I always do, but then I'm going to make my turkey gumbo yaya.
Ooh.
Because I don't have that, you know, the turkey in it, but I'm going to have real andouille in it, some tasso in it, some smoked sausage in it.
Am I going to get my invite?
No.
No. See, now I'm trying to weigh my options.
We don't need an invite. We just need leftovers.
Yeah, the invite, you just tell me the address.
Well, you know how the gumbo, you make it today, but you don't eat it today. You got to give it time to marry. All the ingredients have to come together. You know, they got to give it time. So the next day is when you have the gumbo.
Okay. All right, so no, next day.
I'll make it on Thursday, but I won't have it till Saturday.
I'm trying to get a list of options together for where I'm going to go for Thanksgiving.
Because I love my friends, I will be bringing some gumbo for everybody.
He's still not inviting us. I thought he was just joking. He's like, no, I'm serious. I'll bring you some to the game, but you ain't coming to my house.
Well, first of all, I don't live in a big mansion like you, Dave. Okay? You live in an estate, okay?
Wow.
I live in a little pissant house, okay? I'm proud of what I got. It's all paid for, so I got no problem with it, but... Yeah,
that helps.
You know, I'm not into entertaining.
No, you're not entertaining guests?
No.
All right,
if you come to my house to eat, there's no dining room. The dining room's a music room.
Oh, I got you.
Music.
Okay. I got you.
So everybody comes to my house to eat, we eat in the kitchen.
Dave.
Got the table in the kitchen.
I think he's just being greedy and keeping all that.
Yeah, he is. So, yeah. So I expect... there's a Saints game on Thursday night, too.
There is a Saints game that Thursday.
That's why
we have back-to-back because of the Thursday.
And I'm going to bring gumbo to the Thursday night game, you see?
Okay, we got to figure out. We still haven't... We got to plan that out.
Yeah, okay. I don't
know. We will.
Of course, that doesn't count if we're at the SEC because, you know, I don't own it. So, you know.
All right. So, hey, the Saints, 51-14 over... The Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey,
it's hard to even talk about this game.
Football.
I mean, it's just the Saints are making it look so easy that it's not even really, you know, to talk about
Drew Brees. The first half didn't seem it. You know, they went.
First drive.
Scored seven, and then they came back and they scored seven. So it was like, hey, it might be a game here, you know?
I remember looking over at Tomas and saying, didn't we just drop 35 in the first half on the Rams?
That's right.
And we have 14 right now.
Yeah.
And right.
Then I blinked and it was 35.
Yeah, it was on onset. And you know, you have to have, because there were 17 seconds left.
Yes.
Who was it? It had to be the Williams interception.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought it back. And then
Sure he was going to score now.
One quick pass to
Michael Thomas.
That's it. Who took a big shot.
At the end, yeah.
Gets in the end zone, scores a touchdown. And next thing you know, it's like, hey, let's take it to the locker room with 35 points. But what I found interesting is as I was rewatching the game, I looked and I was like, at one point, just as you said, Tyler, it was only 14-7, and I'm like,
it didn't feel like comfortable.
And I'm like, wait a minute, didn't we score 35 in the first? And I'm like, when did it come? And then it just all of a sudden it opened up. The first quarter ended with just less than a minute, and it was 7-7.
And it was quick.
So it was like both teams went down. Mixon was making me nervous.
Yeah,
because. Yeah. You know, the Saints tightened it up, but Mixon was, man, he's a talented, talented ball player, man.
Well, he runs like he's in prison. So, you know, I mean, I'm just saying. You know, but then we scored. It wasn't a problem, but I have to, breaking news.
Breaking news. Hold on. We don't.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
We haven't broken out the breaking news thing in a while, man. I don't know.
So I have this breaking news. Here's what happened. When we turned around, it was 35-7 suddenly. Word on the street was that the Bengals thought there was a fire. But unfortunately, the system wasn't working anymore.
Saints,
they don't know what
known.
Happened, but suddenly there was no more fire alarm in the building.
The Saints
but,
wouldn't have known, right?
That's right.
Now, okay, so I think that because the Saints are making football look so easy, the media is like me at the beginning of the show. They're yawning. They're dozing off. They're like, they got to find something more interesting than 51-14 to talk about.
Yeah.
And so they made this huge deal out of the fire alarm thing. So those of you who aren't aware, and I just found this out.
Yeah.
So apparently the fire alarm, I thought that that Sean Payton tried to fire the team up and went kind of
like a wild man and broke it. No.
But apparently the fire alarm was going off.
Before the game.
Because can you imagine? Because what the initial thing I heard was that the alarm was going off in the entire stadium. And at the time, think about this. I thought it was because Sean Payton took a helmet and smashed the alarm set the whole alarm. I'm like, he could literally be in trouble if he had. And I'm like, why was it the stadium evacuated?
You still could be in trouble, technically.
Yeah. Apparently, there were people over there.
They'll write a check. You know, it's
I looked it up. 60 days in jail, $500 fine. That's the maximum penalty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, $500 to the Saints head coach.
Well, don't tell Goodell that because they'll put Sean in jail.
Oh, yeah.
For
Sean will be gone for 60 days if the NFL has anything to do with it.
No, but that's, you know, same thing. The initial story I heard was like, you know, Sean, he was worried the team wasn't fired up.
Yes.
And so, you know, he had to do something to motivate them. And so he set off the fire alarm. And I was like, dude, that's really hardcore. I mean, just went
wild, took the helmet.
Set it off or broke it?
No, he set it off.
Which is a much bigger problem than just breaking.
Right, right. But then the story got
cleaned up. Because they told me in high school that was a felony.
It is.
I didn't.
It is.
I didn't.
So then the story got cleaned up, and the alarm is going off. He was trying to have a meeting. He's trying to say things, and the alarm keeps going off. And he finally got pissed off and said, I'll fix this damn alarm. Boom! Okay, now we don't have that sound anymore, so we're good to go.
Well, that story. So once I got it cleared up, but at first I'm like, can you imagine if you just like, come on, boys, we got to win this game. He's like, boom, you hit the alarm and the whole stadium goes off and everybody's evacuating and stuff. And I was like, wow, I had no idea it was that big. But no, it was already going off, which brings up the question, why wasn't the stadium, if the fire alarm's going off, why wasn't the stadium? Although they did say the stadium was half empty, but that had to do with after halftime. It was 35-7.
They probably announced that not to worry that, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what happens is once the fire alarm goes off, they can't turn it off. The fire department has to come to
turn it off. The fire department has to,
And so that's why it keeps ringing until the fire marshal gets there and turns it off.
Clarifies there's no fire.
The people at the stadium can't turn it off. Gotcha. And
the question is, how did it actually go off?
Well, that could have been a short somewhere. Could have been some prank
guy. Smoking in the bathroom.
Yeah, could be.
All right, speaking of smoking, did you see Sheldon Rankins? I mean, every game for the last—
I never see Sheldon Rankins. He's never there. He never does anything.
After the last— I don't know who was saying that. I think Heath was saying that. Well, luckily he's not here today. But Sheldon Rankins is making a habit at least once a game. He's taking a grown man, beating him up, and throwing him back in a quarterback and sacking the quarterback.
Right.
I'd like
to see it once in the first half, once in the second half. If he
gets to that point, I mean, he's
Let's
on pace
go for
now.
One quarter.
He's on pace now to— I mean, he could theoretically get to double-digit sacks, and that's huge. I mean, you're talking about a guy who many at the beginning of the season, and it's funny how impatient fans can be. So he doesn't have a sack in the game. He's a defensive tackle. He's not a defensive end. He doesn't have a sack in the first game or two. And next thing you know, fans are starting to question whether he's a bust or not, and this and that and the other. And now, I mean, and keep in mind, half of his rookie year he was injured.
Right.
So he comes in his second year, and now all of a sudden, the guy's beasting out. I mean, I think that he's worth everything we gave up for him. A difference maker, a true difference maker.
Well, I think all of our defensive line is doing a good job.
Right.
Okay, they're still double teaming and chipping on Cam, you know, but it's gotten much better. I've seen some playing time from Hendrickson. And again, you know, he has a hard time extending his arms to stop somebody around the corner.
Well, he's extending them as far as they go.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
he's like a little short arm. Yeah.
T-Rex. But overall, I think that they're doing great on containment. Like you said, once they figured out what they want to do with the running game, Mixon was pretty much done at that point. You know,
well, they made their adjustments.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the things that, like, makes me very uncomfortable is, you know, your impression is made in the first quarter. And if you come in there and the other team scores on you a bunch or they score on you in the first drive, you start getting a little nervous. But if you think about how the last several games have gone, where teams have gone down the field, whatever the Saints are doing, they're not making initially, they're not playing very well. And then they're making great adjustments because it don't end up the way it starts. Yeah. So, you know,
I think they start vanilla and they end up with the dulce de leche.
And whatever it is, that scripted first part of the game, Saints aren't defending it well, and it's something that they need. That and the end of quarters, or halves, I should say, Saints need to work defensively on fixing that. Now, some other guys who are being productive, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
Your guy, Kirkwood, Arnold, Carr.
Yeah, all the
catching balls.
Yeah.
But Josh Hill, although he's blocking really well,
that's not the thing.
Getting targeted. And Traquan Smith, you know, a guy that we had a lot of hope for. He's done a lot of good things, but he didn't even get targeted on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, to me, I appreciate that we've gone after Dez and now we've signed Brandon Marshall. But I have to tell you, if there was, and there isn't, but if there was a free agent available on the market who was a real tight end, I love Uncle Ben, don't get me wrong. But I think that that is, if I had to find some place on a Saints roster that I would say doesn't match, it's tight end. And Dan Arnold, he's in a shape around. He needs to gain another 20 pounds of muscle, you know, so he can actually block well. Because right now, he's just a big receiver, you know. So we have a necessity at tight end. Because Josh, dude, that guy can block. He can really get out there. He blocks on those running plays. He blocks on those little plays where it's not really a pick, but, you know, he's so big, they got to go around him.
Right, right.
You know? So that's all good and well. But, you know, you're talking about the seam play. Okay, we don't have a Shockey. You know, we don't have a Jimmy Graham. We don't have an Ebron. I mean, talking about my buddy Gary.
Right,
you know,
right.
Ebron's just lighting it up. You know, we don't have a Burton. We don't have my favorite guy, Kelsey. I mean, we don't have a lot of tight end possibilities. And so, to me, I think the wide receivers have stepped it up. And I think it's just a question of Michael Thomas is always open. I mean, you know, why fix something that's not broken?
Right.
When defenses finally figure out how the hell to stop Michael Thomas, well, then we might see something from Tre'Quan Smith. We might see something from, you know, some of the other Austin Carr, I think he's kind of a strange, you know, I expected something along the lines of a hybrid between Lance Moore and Willie, you know, but I haven't gotten that. I mean, I don't really know. I watched the film. He doesn't really run a really tight route, and I think that might be part of the problem why Drew hasn't really connected with him,
right.
You know, so we'll see.
Well, one of the things that, okay, in my mind, when I think of Drew Brees, I think of all those games where the, you know, in the fourth quarter, the broadcasters, the announcers are like, well, you know, Drew Brees has hit 9 of
11 players.
11 players. Yeah. But if you remember back to the Jimmy Graham years.
Yeah, we had
Jimmy
a problem.
Jimmy Graham, he focused on Jimmy Graham. You could have some other guys standing there wide open, and he's going to Jimmy triple cover.
Yeah.
So maybe this whole thing to Thomas is not as really unusual as it might seem, and it may be not that the other guys aren't capable, but at the end of the day, Drew trusts this guy. He says, hey, man, I know that he's going to make a play. I know he's going to be open. And when he's not, then, okay, well, maybe we'll go somewhere else. But until then, I'm going to keep going to him until they stop him.
Like a touchdown.
And nobody stopped them yet.
Like a touchdown. I'm going to throw where nobody can catch it, not even Michael Thomas, but he'll catch it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what happened on that play. And I think that's what you have. But I'm going to say this to you. Once they, you know, Tyler was saying this before. The defenses are going to figure out what the Saints do. At some point, somebody's going to have the players available to double-team Michael Thomas in and out, bracket him, and he won't be able to get that ball no matter what. That's when we have to say, okay, who's going to step it up from there?
Yeah, you need one player when Thomas doesn't have his game. Now, his game has been outstanding.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a little hint of what's coming up in the last game.
Okay. Is this a bold prediction?
Not yet.
Okay,
but it could kind of be. Because Mark sat out the first 4 games, we haven't seen nearly enough of those little plays that Mark is really good at. The little flip the ball out screen plays.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really seen those. Okay? He's caught a couple of where he just breaks from the line of scrimmage, you know, those little dropouts. But not the real screen passes that we were so good at last year. Mark was really good at those screen passes. I predict we're going to see more screen passes coming up in the next few games. You know,
well,
that's my prediction.
I mean, the screen game is something that not only Mark Ingram, he had a couple of nice plays in the game, and at least one of them
he ran
was
for
a
over 100 yards,
right? And
and so did Unger,
and receiving. Well, Unger, yeah, you got me there. I'm like, yeah, okay, but Unger's assist. Look in the stats and see how much assisted receiving yards that Unger had.
When you watch the replay, seriously, every time it seems like Mark gets stopped. Here's number 60. Come boom, on. he's three more yards.
Yes, he does it. But the thing about it is, depending on how the defense is playing the Saints, whether they play in a lot of man, they play in a lot of zone, whether or not that screen game is going to be effective, or that they would even try, because there's many games that, like, man, where's the screens? Well, if you look how they play in the Saints, they play in zone, you just really can't do it. Or if they have one of those linebackers who's fast and instinctive, blows it up, it makes it hard. Like Carolina, It's always hard with Kinkley in there.
And Smith.
Both of them.
Thomas.
But they're guys that they're hard to run the screen game on because not only are they instinctive and they know where to be, they're super athletic and fast and get to the ball really quick. So it's difficult.
Yeah.
But as long as you have Pete over there pancaking guys.
That was a pancake and a half, brother.
Okay, one particular play in particular.
Yeah, I mean, that run.
I mean, it was that run. Yeah, Pete just demolishes and lands on the guy, and you almost feel bad because he's a huge man.
Made me hungry. I was hungrier than pancakes.
he's a big man.
Well, we need to get an Aunt Jemima sponsor for that
I'm telling you. All Mrs. Right. Butterworth.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio on the BS and Beer Saints podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back. More Saints talk. That's what we do. Hey, this is Dave, man. As most of you guys know, I'm not a big gambler. It's not so much that I'm opposed to it. I'm just really bad at it. But, you know, I still like to put a little coin down just to make the games interesting. So I go to mybookie.com. That's the place I go to put my bets down. These guys, every time I bet, I get paid. Well, that's when I win. But anyway, look, that's why I urge you to go to mybookie.com. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding perks in the business, and it's all for you. Hey, for instance, like me, I love fantasy, man. You go, you can make bets on individual players and whether how many points they'll score that week. Hey, if you're like me and you just want to put a little something on the game just to keep your interest in it, go to mybookie.com. That's where I go. Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio.
Here.
Tyler Kissner.
What's going on?
Dave Romero. Listen, we're talking Saints. That's what we do. That's all we do.
But and we expect people to give us a call and let us know what they think. So, Dave, what is that number, by the
701-901-1295. Matter of fact,
we have a couple of calls, don't we?
We do have a couple of calls that we need to get to. But I just really what I want to bring up is the grunters. So when taking a break here, and they're talking about Tyler and Tomas go to the same gym, and then they start talking about the grunter over there, the big guy.
The big guy
who's
like,
that uses like the
– but he does a grunt. He's not a grunter.
There's always the big guy that's just a little off that like uses like the squat rack to do curls
using the rowing machine to do his pecs, back on
the leg extension. He's doing his back with it, and like who does that? Like I mean, you know, it's
and
like
he's lifting up the entire machine when he does.
Yeah, it's a
strong dude.
But speaking of complaining,
yeah,
I don't know how you win a game 51-14 and find something to complain about, something to be upset about, but I have a feeling that there's something that you're going to be upset about.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
That's going to mean anything to me. My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's gonna blow up. It's gonna blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
All right, it's a mathematical certainty. Indubitably. And as Dave has said, you know, when you win this way, and you win all three phases, we won on offense, we won on defense, we won on special teams. It's hard. It's very difficult to find something that brings the passion out of me of saying, man, I want to talk about this. But I found something because, you know, it's me. So here it is, my friend. The announcers on the game. Okay. So I probably like Dave, they're a little bored. They're yawning up there. Man, you know, the Saints are taking this Bengals team apart, you know. Matter of fact, some people, I got on some of my tweets, some of the people follow me on my Twitter account, saying that they got the game changed. They got to a certain point, and they no longer had the Saints game on. They went to the Texans game or some other game. I'm so sorry. But, nevertheless, we stayed with the Saints game. And so we're watching the game. We're listening to these announcers. And here's what comes up. Suddenly, a picture of Thomas Morstead on the sideline. Good old Thomas Morstead. Definitely one of the greatest punters the Saints have ever had. Probably one of the greatest punters in the NFL. My opinion. Matter of fact, you know, we're talking about going to the gym. I don't know if Tyler saw this or not. He doesn't exercise on that the little half ball thing that you know you use.
Yeah.
Where he stands with free weights in his hands, and with one leg he squats, extends the other one, and does a deep knee.
Mm-hmm.
Not in my best days, but okay. The man has incredible flexibility and strength. I mean, I've seen him pull ups like you know my old days doing other things. But anyway, so they show Thomas Morstead. And I'm thinking, oh, they're going to talk about how, you know, how consistent he is and say good things about him. No. They're going to talk about how, well, you know, this guy, you know, he's collecting a paycheck without having a punt. You know, they give the statistics. Well, you know, it's been like 20 games since this guy even punted a ball. So, you know, and I'm thinking, dude, how disrespectful can you be? You know, we're winning all three phases. He doesn't need to punt the damn ball. I'm happy. I got no problem with it. So then they show him. He says, well, at least he's doing something to make his paycheck, right? He's practicing the snap for the extra points and for the field goals. And I'm thinking, you know what? He didn't need to practice that. He's a professional. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. So I'm thinking, you know, these guys are disrespectful. Thomas Morstead, great punter. We're going to need him at some point. He's going to kick the ball. He's going to kill it right on the one-yard line. It's what he does. It's what we do. All right. So I'm a little upset, but I kind of started getting over it. And suddenly somebody posts a picture on my Twitter account. Thomas Morstead sleeping in his little cubbyhole. Either before or after. I don't know. I didn't have an explanation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, dude, why are you picking on Thomas Morstead? Yeah, you got to pick on some. Find somebody else to pick on that could be picked on. Like, for example, you know, my friends, I don't know if they're really my friends, but my friends like to pick on Crowley. But see, I can understand that. You know, because after all, Crowley is at his moments. Okay? But you're going to pick on Morstead? Really? The punter? The guy who saved us in many a game? The guy who, as a matter of fact, not only is he a punter, not only is he a holder, but how many times has he been the last guy to tackle somebody who's broken through our porous special teams at some point in the past? I mean, the last guy defense and knocked the guy on his butt. That's a real player right there, my friends. You know, he's right up there with my other guy, number 7. But we're not talking about number 7 today because, you know, he wasn't really used too much in the game yesterday, to tell you, and Sunday. You know, but, you know, I'm talking about Taysom. But anyways, in any case, my rant is about these damn idiots who can't be appreciative of one of the finest players on our team. Not only is he a fine football player, but he did some amazing things with Minnesota. And all the money he was able to collect and donate to the Minnesota people. That's the kind of athlete I want on my team. That's the kind of man I expect to be on our New Orleans Saints. So there you have it, my friends. My rant for this week is the stupid ass announcers who don't know what the hell they're talking about. Morstead, a giant.
What am I then, boy?
That's the wrong one.
I like that one better.
Look at here, son. Oh, I'm no loudmouth snook.
All right. Hey, give us a call on the hotline, 701-901-1295.
And if you can't get through that way, you can always send us an email.
Email, bsandbeer@icloud.com.
There you go.
Thomas Morstead, I don't know. I fell asleep during most of your rant. They're going to have to adjust this contract.
We'll post a picture of Dave in his cubbyhole.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just sleeping like Morstead.
They're
going to have to do something because, I mean.
We're going to take a picture of Dave while I'm doing my rant where he sits here with his eyes closed and his fingers in his ears. We'll do that one.
but yeah, I mean, he's getting paid way too much. He loosens up and he holds the ball on extra points. Yeah. You know, they were going to have Taysom do it because we can do more things with Taysom.
Yeah.
But then they were like, man, per play, the guy's going to be making more money than anybody on the team.
There
so they had to make some adjustments. So. Anyway, don't go anywhere. We'll come back with the MyBookie.com picks of the week.
That's it.
I'm losing ground, man. I'm losing ground. This is getting hard.
I don't I'm closing again.
And I don't know why, but she's changed my mind. Would you look at her? She looks at me. She's got me thinking.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Fight the powers that be.
standing up for people.
BS and beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and beer.
BS and beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Saints Talk Show. Look, this is where we usually do a little bit of NFC South, but God, there's so much going on, the bigger picture. So what I wanted to do is just kind of throw some things out there so everybody can get an idea of where the playoff picture is starting to develop. And here's where it's interesting if you start to look at the standings. There are 32 teams in NFL, 16 in the NFC. Of the 16 in the NFC, only six have winning records. So really where I'm going with this is kind of looking at at this point. Now, it's still early. There's still seven more games to go. But when we start looking at the seeding, the first seed, second seed in the playoffs, get a bye week. And obviously, that's what the Saints want. They want to get the bye week. They want to get that home game in the playoffs. So, first of all, let's look at the East. There's one team in the East, and it's the Washington Redskins at 6-3, who the Saints have beat, and their schedule remaining. Houston, at Dallas, at Philly, at Giants, at Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Philadelphia. Looking at that schedule and having watched and observed Washington, I look at Washington based on that division, based on the schedule. Let's just call them a 10-win team, and I might be a little generous with that, but let's just call them a 10-win team. Then you move over to Central. You have two teams with winning records. You have the Chicago Bears at 6-3, their remaining schedule. Minnesota, Detroit, the Giants, Rams, Green Bay, San Francisco, Chicago. I'm going to look at them, and I'm going to give them, just as it plays out, I'm going to go ahead and say that they're going to win that division, and I'll give them 10 wins as well. Vikings, 5-3. They play at Chicago, Green Bay, at New England, at Seattle, Miami, at Detroit, and Chicago. The teams play each other twice, so one way or another, depending on who wins, let's give them 9 wins, and they'll probably be your wild card team. Now, moving on, the Rams, 9-1. They play KC, and if you heard the news, the game was moved. It was supposed to be in Mexico City on Monday night. I guess the field conditions were really bad. They decided that they're going to move it back. It's going to be a home game in L.A. So you're going to have Kansas City going to L.A., although L.A.'s stadium, not really much of a home field advantage. But depending on who wins that game, you're talking about either 9-2 for the Rams. I don't know the way they've been playing. They lost Cooper Kupp this weekend. I'm going to give this game, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Kansas City, and mainly because then that puts the Saints and the Rams in a situation where the Saints will now, because after Kansas City, the Rams have a bye week, then they play at Detroit, at Chicago, Philadelphia, at Arizona, San Francisco. I don't see a bunch of losses on there. The only team that I see really challenging them would be at Chicago. Chicago has a good defense. They have a great pass rush, and they can make some plays. And, you know, the Rams, when they played without Cooper Kupp for a few weeks, they look like a little bit of a different offense, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But let's move on to the South. New Orleans, 8-1, the remaining schedule. Philadelphia, Atlanta, Dallas, at Tampa Bay, at Carolina, Pittsburgh, and Carolina. Now, Carolina, you know, after that Thursday night debacle, a little bit less concerned about them, but having said that, it's still a division game. And it'll be tough. We have to play them at their place. We also play Atlanta at home. You know, usually you would say it's a division game. Atlanta, it's a rivalry, but Atlanta is just shorthanded, and I do not see Atlanta challenging. Now, Philadelphia, I would have said early in the season, I thought that would be a very challenging game. Luckily, we have them at home. They have no defensive backs. Just knowing football the way I do, the Saints are not going to win out. There's going to be a hiccup somewhere down the road. I'm just trying to figure out where it's going to be. Maybe one of the Carolina games, and then you have Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's at home. I'm going to put the Saints at 13-3. And I didn't mention the Rams. I would say the Rams would probably be – I'm going to just I'm going to just make them 13-3 as well, because I think that I could see them losing to Chicago at Chicago and Kansas City. So you have two 13-3 teams. The Saints won. Looks like we got a first-round bye. Carolina at Detroit. Seattle at Tampa Bay, at Cleveland, New Orleans, Atlanta, and New Orleans. Depending on how that all shakes out, you know, I'm thinking they're somewhere around a 9-10-1 team. So if you look at it from that perspective, now you get an idea of how the playoffs might pan out. There's really no one, unless the Saints just fall apart, Saints and Rams. You would almost say at this point, looking at the schedule, looking at how the teams are playing, that the Saints and the Rams are pretty much going to lock up that 1-2 seed in the playoffs. And looking at based on projections and what have you and the way teams have played in the division, basically this exercise is to say that I don't see any of them challenging for the 1 or 2 seed unless either the Rams or Saints just have a complete meltdown and some of these other teams catch fire. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, it's good news. Looks like the Saints could end up with hopefully a 1 seed if things play out the way I expect them to. And actually, whenever I was looking at who the Saints could potentially lose to, maybe Pittsburgh, maybe one of Carolina. But having said that, Pittsburgh at home, the Saints are a different team at home, and they are on a whole nother level. But Pittsburgh's going to be a challenge because Pittsburgh will stretch you vertically, and the Saints have struggled with that vertical passing game. We'll see. All right, so let's move on a little bit. Let's talk some stats from the game on Sunday against Cincinnati. I'm not going to go into too much depth with this because it's almost like – I mean, God, it's like they didn't even come to play. And to sit here and just go over all these statistics is, I don't know, it's kind of an exercise in futility. But Mark Ingram, 13 carries, 104 yards, 8 yards per carry. Kamara, 4.7 yards for a carry on 12 attempts and 56 yards. Interesting, Washington, a guy that we picked up from Detroit, kind of a backup running back. You know, he came in 11 carries, 47 yards, and that might tell you a little bit of something. If you remember last year, the Buffalo Bills game, we stuck in some backups, long runs, and they end up with these great statistics. We always talk about the Fighting Garys. Gary's a good friend of ours, a huge Detroit Lions fan. He wasn't impressed with Washington when he was at Detroit, so I would have to believe that by the time he came in, which was most of the fourth quarter, that Cincinnati had already, you know, they'd already packed up shop and was ready to head home. Drew Brees, 22 for 25, 265 yards, 3 touchdowns, longest of 42, and a rating of 150.4. Man, I don't know. Oh, and by the way, Hill was 0 for 1, but man, again, the Saints just seem to not want to let Taysom Hill have a passing touchdown because Ben Watson dropped another opportunity, and it was Alvin Kamara, a few games back where he dropped the touchdown. At this point, very easily Taysom Hill could have had 2 touchdowns throwing the ball, and he doesn't. But still, you know, listen, that weapon, what he's doing is creating doubt in the minds. He can throw the ball, he can run the ball. I mean, God, I never imagined that Taysom Hill or anybody would have this kind of effect on the Saints game, a team. And you really have to give a lot of credit to the coaching staff, to Sean Payton, for being in a position where he would be open-minded enough to give this all a shot. Because, quite frankly, if someone had mentioned this to me in preseason, I would have kind of rolled my eyes and said, they're not taking Drew Brees out of the game or off the field or out from behind center and to do this. So, yeah, they did, and it's been a really effective weapon. Receiving, Michael Thomas continues to get the bulk of the receptions with 8 targets, 8 receptions. I mean, 100%. He's already at some insane number. Like, if I'm not mistaken, like 95% target to completion ratio. It's incredible. Let's see. Alvin Kamara with 5, Ingram with 3, and now here you go. Kirkwood, 2 receptions, 45 yards. Now, this is a guy that was undrafted free agent. They brought him in. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, he has great size, he has good speed, good athleticism. You know, I'm not even going to pretend to – it's a Tomas thing to give you the insight on why this guy goes undrafted. I know that he transferred, he went to Temple. But having said that, looks like he has some athleticism, good hands. You never know, could develop into a contributor. So we'll keep an eye on him. But, you know, with Brandon Marshall coming in, let's see. He's another big body guy. You know, somebody's going to lose some snaps. Traquan Smith, I'm not exactly sure. One day he looks like he's the next guy that will step up and be a productive receiver for the Saints. And then he doesn't even – I don't know if he got targeted. I know he didn't have a reception. I don't think he got targeted in the game. So another guy, Austin Carr. 2 passes, and Dan Arnold, 3 receptions. No, these are guys that, man, when early in the season, and you've heard me talk about on the show, they catch a pass. I'm a little like, why would they even throw this guy the ball in this situation? A couple of times it didn't work out, but he's come up with more good plays than bad plays, and I don't know. Do I have to start taking this guy more seriously? All right, let's get to some big picture stuff here. First downs, the Saints, 33 first downs to 13. If you're not really a numbers person, that is an absurdly high number. All right, third down conversions, 58%, 7 for 12, 0 for 6 for the Bengals. Net yards, 509. This is NFL, folks. This is not college football. 509 to 284. Net rushing yards, 244. Again, I'd like to reiterate, this is not college football. Now, here's another big one. Total rushing plays, 47. Now, again, the entire second half, the Saints were just, I don't know, Cincinnati seemed to have given up, and so the Saints just ran it right down their throat. Joe Mixon was having a good day early, and I think once the Saints got behind, they just they quit giving them the ball. Another one, time of possession, 39 minutes, 46 seconds for the Saints, and Cincinnati, 20 minutes and 14 seconds. All in all, it's just complete domination. All right, well, that's a look inside the numbers with the BS and Beer crew. New Orleans Saints football talk wall to wall. Listen, give us a call on the hotline, 701-901-1295, or follow us on Twitter, Saints BS. That's my Twitter handle. I love having Saints conversations with all the people who follow the show or people who don't. So give us a call, be part of the show, or just talk a little football with us. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Sports Talk 97.7. When we come back, it's the My Bookie Picks of the Week. You don't want to miss it. You got to pay that house note, right?
He wakes up in the morning, does his teeth bite to eat and he's rolling.
BS and Beer podcast, where we realize that taking candy from a baby is the responsible thing to do.
Welcome back. It's that time, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. It's the My Bookie Picks of the Week. Tomas, I'm fading.
I'm sorry, brother.
Oh, I'm not.
Tyler, I'm fading. I'm making my end of the season fade like every other year. I was doing so well. Then this past week, 6. I mean, oh, my God. And speaking of fading, it's like I got the first 3 picks right. I'm just like, man, I'm rolling. And then just wrong. All right. But Tomas,
yes, sir.
You where you at? You said 11?
11.
Yeah. 11. You doing all right then? Yes, all right. Sir. So let's get started. Week 11. All right. We're starting Packers at the Seahawks.
Yep.
The Packers are the Seahawks are giving up 2.5 points. The Packers, man, I tell you, they're a team that the national media insists on trying to make relevant, and they just aren't a very good team, and their record shows it. So, Tyler,
I'm taking the Seahawks.
Tomas.
Even though Aaron Rodgers can't play defense, I'm going to take the Packers.
Take the Packers. 2.5. You know what? I like what I saw out of the Seahawks in the sense that they play tough football. And I think at home, and it's getting to the time of year where it's cold and it's hard to play up there, I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
All right.
So the Cowboys at the Falcons. The Falcons, believe it or not, they're giving up. They're the favorites. I mean, they are just playing terrible football right now. They're giving up 3 points. Lost to the Browns last week.
That's correct.
Got whooped by the Browns last week.
Got me some points. Yep.
-3. Tyler.
Falcons. I'm taking them at home.
I cannot. I will take the Cowgirls.
Just out of spite, I'm going to go ahead.
I'll take the loss. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'll take the loss. We can go ahead and get the Cowboys. Matter of fact, I mean, it's 2 teams. I wouldn't want to pick either one. But
right. I'm not going to.
At least the Cowboys.
I close my eyes and push the button.
Yeah, just whichever
Falcons
one.
Falcons
won. The thing about it is the Cowboys, they're irrelevant now, so who cares?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now, the Panthers at the
Garys.
The Garys. Gary, I don't know if you heard it, but it was a tweet. I didn't send it to you because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. He listens to the show every week, but it's a little dice.
Yeah, he said, stop calling them fighting Garys. They're just the Garys because they got no fight left in them. But they sort of came back this last week in the game.
They lost, though, right?
Still. Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, so in other words, they tried.
Yeah, they tried.
Yeah, they're the vicarious or the I don't know. They just got a little bit. It's not fight, but it's just a little bit of, you know, a little vinegar in them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it might be suffering from ED, but okay, go ahead.
All right.
Oh, wow.
All right. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
So you took the Lions or the Panthers? Is that the one you're
picking right now? I'm going to take the Garys.
No, me too.
I'm
going to
take the Garys.
I'm taking the Garys at plus four.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's a clean sweep for the Garys. All right.
And, okay. So then we have the Titans at the Colts. The Colts giving up one. Yep. Titans actually playing good football. I had that big battle with all their fans last summer, and I want them to be relevant, but they keep playing pretty well and making me look bad. So, but the Colts played decent football, Tyler.
I think the Colts started to figure things out, but I think the Titans, I'm taking that, you know, I'm giving them a point there, plus one.
Well, you know, Kenny Vaccaro's back in the last game. That's really what the difference was. It was the play of the safeties.
He's a big difference maker.
He's a big difference, but I'm still going with the Colts.
Going with the Colts? I don't know. I'm going to give the Titans a little bit of relevance, and I'm going to pick them. Going with the Titans.
All right.
So you want to talk about an exciting game at 1 o'clock.
I know, man.
It's
chomping at the bit for this one.
It's your fighting Buccaneers.
The Yuccaneers.
Going to the Giants. It's an even. It's a pick'em game. Tyler, what you got?
I'm going with the Giants. I like the way they played last night. You know, they're starting. I don't know. I just like the way they played last night. So I'm going with the Bucs.
All right.
You're going with the Bucs?
Sorry, Giants. My fault. Giants.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the tiny people as well.
All right. I'm going to go with the Giants. I don't know. I don't know if I could even. It's such a boring matchup. I may not even look at the final score.
Right.
Okay. Texans at the Redskins. The Redskins are actually getting 2.5 points at home.
Yep.
So they're a home dog.
Yep.
To the Texans. Tyler, what you got?
Redskins.
No, I'm gonna have to tell you. I know that Mr. Poor Boy is gonna be playing there, but he's gonna be a couple of shrimp too short, and so I'm gonna go with the Texans.
Huh? I think I'm gonna go with my. You know what? I sent him a letter. I haven't heard anything back from it yet.
Yeah.
I tweeted him. Still nothing. He owes me a sandwich. I want my sandwich back.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to pick the Redskins.
It's going to be a bologna sandwich, though. You know?
Yeah, probably so. It won't be one of them good po' boys. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go with the Redskins as well, get my 2.5. I'm trying to figure out there's something about the Redskins that makes me think that's a bad decision.
It is a bad decision.
They lose a bunch of – oh, they did. They lost their entire offensive line.
Yep.
I remember they have the team doctor. What's his name? Not team doctor, but there's a guy on the radio who watches the games, and when somebody gets hurt, he's a, you know, orthopedic surgeon.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Cho or something.
Yeah, something
and,
like that.
And I'm going to change my pick. I am now going with the Texans.
Oh,
sticking
okay.
with the Skins. Sticking yep. with the Redskins.
All right. All right, so moving on, you got the Steelers against a team that used to be decent.
Now is the non-relevant team now. Yeah,
I mean, what happened? They were irrelevant, then they put together this amazing defense, and this tells you something with all this talent, all these players, and they've just gone back to nothing.
Because they're not a team, brother.
No, I think they are getting
problem.
Fournette back this week.
Maybe.
I read something about that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
All right, Steelers, Jaguars.
I mean, Steelers. The Jaguars have to stop pretending they're not a good team.
Yep. I'm going Steelers.
Okay, it's a clean sweep because I can't do it. Now, here's another exciting game. The Bengals, who they may not even field a team. They may just not show up, take the day off. They took the day off against the Saints. Will they take another week off? Ravens or Bengals, Tyler? No line, by the way.
Ravens. I mean, it's another game that I may not look at the final score of. I'm going with
okay,
the Ravens.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with what I've seen so far. We beat Minnesota. They come back the next week and beat the crap out of somebody. We beat the Rams. They come back the next week and they beat the. We beat the crap out of the Bengals. So they did hire Hugh Jackson.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
to take over
is
the
that
offense.
A positive or a negative? Where
that's
are you going
positive
with this?
Positive because when he was there before, he did a lot of good work with. It was more good Andy than bad Andy.
He took over the what?
He didn't take over the offense.
Didn't they fire their DC?
Right, but that means that. Lewis is going to take over the defense.
Then that's the mistake.
Yeah, well, it could be, but I'm going to go with the Bengals in this one just because, like I said, I mean, the Saints, anybody who plays the Saints, the next game, they seem to come back to life. So, okay. I'm going Bengals.
All right. So
where are you?
I'm going Ravens.
All right.
It's got to be the Ravens. All right. I almost forgot to pick that one. I fell asleep. I dozed off a second talking about it. Raiders at the Cardinals. Oh, sorry. I dozed off again. I'm sorry. Hit my head on the desk there. So, Cardinals giving up 4 points.
Yep.
I mean, boy, what does that tell you about your team when the Cardinals are 4-point favorites? You know, I know they give the 3 just because you're the home team.
Yep.
The Raiders have been
they suck
really bad. The Cardinals are terrible, too.
My father rolled over in his grave.
All right, and he was a big
Raiders fan.
Yeah. Tyler?
Cardinals taking the 4.
Yeah, I'm going with the Hebrew Hammers. Now I'm going Cardinals. That's what the nickname is for their quarterback.
That's funny.
So I'm going with them.
I mean, there's a part of me that just thinks the Raiders are a better team, and I have no idea why.
Because they're not, but okay.
I'm just going to take the Cardinals. I think they have more talent. Boy, Gruden has twisted those guys up, man.
I mean, yeah. Let's hope he's playing for the long run because he's not right now.
Yeah, man. And he 10-year contract.
But he's got 3 first-round draft choices next year.
Okay. He might have said, look, give me 10 years. We'll rebuild this team into an actual winner.
3 years because of how the NFL is set up, like I've told you. Yeah. He'll sign, half a dozen really good players with big contracts. Then the rest will all be draft kids. Everybody in their 4-year contracts.
But what a last season in Oakland for the Raiders, though,
Yeah. It may not be their last season.
That's true.
But okay, go ahead.
All right, Broncos at the Chargers. Chargers have been playing really good ball. The Broncos are actually a solid team, too. So Chargers giving up 7.5 points. What you say, Tyler?
I'm giving up 7.5. I'm going with the Chargers.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. I just think Broncos can't stay up with them.
There's a part of me that just wants to pick the Broncos.
Yeah, be
just,
obstinate.
Yeah, my point is that you always get excited in the big lines, and I end up picking the home team and losing. Not the Chargers won't lose. But they won't cover.
They won't cover.
So I'm going to pick the Broncos.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So now we have the Vikings at the Bears. The Bears giving up 2.5 points. A little disrespectful there, giving the Vikings that half a point, to the home team.
Well, but I'm just going to tell you, I think that, again, the Vikings have come to life. And this is going to be a good game, to tell you the truth. But I'm going to take the Vikings in a 2.5.
All right.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. Vikings.
I'm gonna go with the Bears just to be hard-headed. I'm gonna go with the Bears just to be hard-headed. All right. So then now here's an exciting game. They moved it from Mexico. It's the Monday night game.
Okay, go ahead.
Chiefs at the Rams. It's not an 11-point spread.
It's not.
It's a one-point spread. All right. So what you say, Tyler?
I'm going with the Chiefs. I think they can pull this one out.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
Mahomes. Me
too. Well, I
take the point.
I need the Chiefs to win now. It's the big game.
The big game.
The big game of the week. Mm-hmm. It's the defending Super Bowl champions going down to the Big Easy to play in the Superdome. Who you got, Tyler? 9 points. The Saints are 9-point favorites.
I got to go with the Saints. I'm a huge fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but if you've watched that show, they had a great Super Bowl episode, but I'm going with the Saints. They're going to ruin that fan base here. Taking the 9.
9 points, Tomas.
I know. The 9 points worries me.
Yeah.
But, we beat the Rams by 10, and the Eagles aren't the Rams. We dropped the 50-burger on the Bengals. The Eagles aren't the Bengals either. So I'm going to take my Saints and give up those 9 points. Hoota.
Yep.
You know what? I just feel like at some point they cannot
maintain. You're about to be fired.
Maintain this kind of productivity. And
before you make your pick, you have to understand the Saints have dropped 50 and 35 on a good team. Can the Eagles drop 40?
Yeah, the answer, we beat 45 to the Rams, 54 to the
Eagles. Can the Eagles score 35 on the Saints?
The answer to that is no, they cannot. The Saints are going to cover the spread.
There you go.
The Eagles are going with
good choice.
I think they're going with who? Moore at cornerback and CJ Webb at the other corner.
Uh-huh.
And their nickelback is going to be the kid that went to Tampa Bay,
Devontae
Harris. And I'm sure they'll make a midweek trade,
right, there you go.
And the Saints are going to pull it off.
Listen,
for Tyler Kissner, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS Beer Podcast on 97.7.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So so dumb.